Hello and welcome to this Canadian Opera Company podcast, sponsored by DECA, the opera label. My name is Jana Wichlow, and today I'm joined by Johannes de Boos, the company's new music director.
Hello.
Welcome, Johannes.
Thank you very much.
Now, the last time I spoke with you in an interview hosted on Alexander Neef's blog, it was last fall, and you were just completing a very successful run at the Canadian Opera Company of Prokofiev's War and Peace. That was over a year ago. How do you look back on that experience now?
I'm full of the best memories of that time, I must admit. And out of this, it came this engagement to be the new music director here, which is still a kind of fairy tale for me. I mean, as well, working with these singers, and as you know, it's a piece which requires a lot of singers. It's a huge, it's a massive piece of music. There's a lot to do with the orchestra. You really get in touch with them. You get in touch with the chorus. So it was a good chance to know about the COC, to know the company well. And it was a great time, definitely.
One of the reviewers, actually a couple of the reviewers for War and Peace, made a special note that they really hoped the COC would waste no time in bringing you back. And those are sort of prophetic words.
So, that's what they did. they really did not waste time. And they asked me to come back and to join the company as music director. And I immediately said that I would love to do that because I felt so so welcome here. And I think the conditions to work here are excellent, are really excellent. Maybe these writers did not know that I would come back as the guy who is responsible for the music at the COC now.
There was a great reaction internally and externally. Having said that, you're still a very young man, 35?
35. Well, it's not very young, but there's still time, or hopefully still time to live and to develop and to go on.
Absolutely. And the reason I ask that is because I'd love to know more about your early life, how your musical life developed. Where did it all start?
It all started in a cathedral choir in the city where I grew up in the southwest of Germany. And I was, I think I was five years old, so a boy soprano, a tiny little boy soprano. And I started to learn all that repertoire, oratorios, masses. I think to start with singing is not the worst way to start making music, to get in touch with music, because I think the voice is the most natural instrument we have. It's our body that makes the sound. So that was my start there. And then I continued with the piano. So I learned the piano. I also had a little episode, 3 years playing the violin, but I don't know why. I was not very, very successful with that, or that's what I thought, and I stopped it. And I still think that was one of the biggest mistakes I could do. But I was attracted by the organ, this huge instrument, and so I started to learn the organ, and I played a lot in churches, you know, and started to conduct church choirs, things like that. So,
that was your first job, wasn't it, playing the organ?
Yeah, that's right. I earned my money. So I really did not have to ask my parents to give me some
pocket money or allowance.
Pocket money. No, I did it this way, which was great. I was I felt independent. I mean, I did not need so much.
When did you come to conducting? When did the idea strike you?
The idea struck me, I think I've been around 12, 13. And of course, in the choir, you always have to deal with a choral conductor. So I knew about it. So I can't remember exactly. Maybe I've seen a Bernstein video or a Bernstein broadcast or Karajan, something like that on TV, you know, with big symphony orchestra, maybe a Mahler symphony. And I thought, wow, what is this guy doing? It's great. And all these instruments, it's incredible. And yeah, I'd love to do the same. So I remember my siblings laughing at me when I was standing in front of the stereo system and conducting to the LPs, you know. My first baton, it was a gift my younger brother made me, and that was very sweet. He made it himself, you know. And so he was aware that this is my dream.
He actually made you a baton.
Yeah, he made me a baton. I still have it somewhere.
That's wonderful.
Yeah, that was very sweet.
Are your other siblings musical?
My brother, he's a jazz musician. He's a double bass player. We had a big fight when we were young because I was totally addicted to classical music, and there was no other music for me, which was, stupid, but that was in that time my point of view, and he just had to rebel, to make another statement against that, and he woke up with, let's say, Jimi Hendrix, AC/DC, and things like that, and I thought that's horrendous. But now I think we sorted it out, and we know that each kind of good music has its right and its qualities, and it's good that we have a variety of different styles and things like that.
Speaking of good music, why don't we listen to an excerpt now?
Please.
Something that you have picked out. What would you like to start with?
Zauberflöte, Magic Flute, is probably one of the operas I got in touch with, as many children do. Because, it's a piece which has this magic, this world of fantasy, and it's about... For me, it's about the development of a character, of a person. You know, we start with this Tamino, Pamina. They are teens, in a way. And then they grow up, they make this... it's like an examination. You know, they go through fire, they go through water. Yeah, it's like from...
Like a sort of initiation.
It's an initiation, yeah. And there's Tamino, there's Papageno. Papageno says, oh, come on, that's too hard. I don't want to fight. I don't want to always make choices, you know. I want to sit at home, and I want to sit in my little hut. I want to listen to the birds, and that's it. I don't need I don't need to think big. But Tamino says, no, we have to. And we have to go through that. And we sometimes have to fight, and we have to take, we have to make decisions.
In order to grow.
To grow, yeah. And it's maybe a bit, it's not really from darkness to light, but this element of enlightenment, it's the opera of enlightenment. It's simple in its best way, in that simple way to present all these deep ideas. That's great. That's unbelievable. So it's a piece for everybody, you know? The children can enjoy it, and they enjoy, for example, this scene when Tamino starts to play the flute and he tames the wild animals with the enchantment of the music. That's the excerpt I've chosen.
Yeah. And we're going to listen to Uwe Heilmann as Tamino with Sir Georg Scholti and the Vienna Philharmonic.
Nur Pamina bleibt. Magnus Thorn. Vielleicht sah Pamina schon, vielleicht als sie mit ihm zu mir, vielleicht, vielleicht führt mich der Punkt zu mir, führt mich der Punkt zu mir, führt mich der Punkt zu mir.
We just listened to an excerpt from The Magic Flute, and the Canadian Opera Company will be presenting that opera next season. Johannes, what was your first opera experience?
You mean as a listener?
As a spectator.
As a spectator? To be honest, as I grew up with, let's say, church music, I had not such a deep relation to opera first. My parents tried to go to the opera house with me and my siblings, but I always thought, oh, come on, it's so strange. They're standing on stage, they're singing, oh, I love you, I love you, I love you. They are dying and they are still singing, oh, I love you, I love you. This is so unreal. Why do they do that? They could just talk to each other. That was really my thought. And then...
And how old were you about then?
Oh, I was 13. I was, in that time, I wanted to become a symphonic repertoire, conductor for concert. And I adored, which I still do some... Well, I still do adore church music. I mean, the great things from, let's say, from Palestrina to Stravinsky masses, and there's a lot of really, really great grand repertoire. Anyway, of course, I sat at home, took some vocal scores, and played for myself. I think maybe the first opera was Entführung aus dem Serail, Abduction from the Seraglio. I remember I played for my own joy Valkyrie. Vocal score. So it was, it was sight reading training, but also just to get in touch with. But I was not fond of it. And then when I started my studies, the teacher sent me a list of pieces I should prepare. And it was
this in Hamburg?
Yeah, that was in Hamburg. And there was Traviata on top of this list. Okay, I bought a Traviata vocal score. I sat at home at the piano. And I started, and I thought, my God, what is that? It's just great. It's awesome. I was really from. It was like this figure in the Bible, Saulus to Paulus.
It was like a conversion.
It was That's the word. That's the right word. Yeah. I was from one day to another. I was completely turned upside down, and I thought, wow, that's it. Yeah.
So we have
so
that.
Great.
Indeed. Thank.
I mean, to express even more than you can express just with words, because you have the music, which can probably transport even more, than just words. And recently, I had a conversation with the stage director, who told me exactly the same, that he was really always affected to do opera, because there's such a lot more of information or emotion. It's just wonderful. So Traviata is the opera which somehow converted me from the pure choral boy to the dirty opera conductor. We are going to listen to an excerpt from this duet where Giorgio Germont, Papa Germont, comes to visit Traviata, and he convinces her to step back. You can really hear in the music how hard this situation is, either for her, but also for him. And there's the moral pressure is so high that he can't act in a different way. And she realizes that, and knowing that this will cause a lot of emotional trouble, she promises him to step back. Well, at the end, we know that Giorgio Germont, Papa Germont, realizes that she's not just this Damo Camille, that she has a really big, big heart. And we hear that already in these moments in that duet. So Verdi found a way to show that, to express that.
We're going to hear Joan Sutherland as Violetta and Matteo Manuguerra as Germain. Richard Bonning conducts the National Philharmonic Orchestra on this recording on the Decca label from 1981.